And this series is about personal change, which goes along with the primary point of last week's message. You need to understand you can't change yourself. You can't change yourself. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 21. If indeed you have heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. In other words, like God. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. There's a secret, a key, if you will, to personal change, and we're going to discover that in today's scripture. And as I said earlier, today we're talking about truth. The title is truth. What is truth to you? What is truth to you? Is it something that you've heard somebody say? Something you saw on Facebook? Is it something someone has said about you? Or is it something you believe or feel or think about yourself? What is truth to you? Ephesians 4, verse 21 is our focus verse today. And I want you to see it in the New Living Testament. Verse 21 says, since you have heard about Jesus and been taught, since you've learned about Jesus and learned the truth that comes from him, you've been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That's the New King James, but I want you to hear it from the NLT. This is how the New Living Testament says, since you've heard about Jesus and learned the truth that comes from him. Since you've heard about Jesus and learned the truth that comes from him. You see, when you're taught about Jesus, you're taught about the truth. All things start with Jesus. All things. And this is our first point. Personal change starts with truth. Personal change starts with truth. You see, everything starts with Jesus because Jesus is truth. Salvation begins with truth. The truth that we need Christ. We need a Savior. The truth that he is the one true God, the one true Savior. He did die on the cross for our sins. He did rise from the dead. And he does sit at the right hand of the Father. Personal change starts with truth. What is truth to you? Well, I don't know what truth is to you today, but I can tell you what truth is. Jesus is truth. Jesus is truth. Jesus said many things about himself. He said, I am. And these are some of the things he said when he said, I am. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. You see, Jesus gives life. I am the light of the world. Without Christ, there is no light. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. He's the doorway that the sheep come in. He said, I am the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd who loves us. He loves you. He cares for you. He watches after you. And he wants you to stay under his care. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. You see, he is the resurrection and the life. And he'll resurrect your life and give you life if you'll let him. He said, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. You see, we think of the vine as this crawling thing back that wraps around things. But back then In the original language, when this was written, the vine is considered the trunk, the main part of the tree or the main part of the grapevine. And he says, I am the true vine. And you see, all the leaves, all the branches are connected to the true vine. And they grow and they produce and they're fruitful. And he said, I am the way. In John 14, 6, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. Yes. And what he was saying there was, the only way to heaven is through me. Jesus said, the only way to heaven is through me. I'm the way to God the Father. I am the truth for all the world. And I'm the life, everlasting life. The next thing we need to know is that if you know Jesus, you'll know truth. But if there's no Jesus in your life, there's no truth in your life. Now that's a hard pill to swallow, but it's true. If you know Jesus, you'll know the truth. He is truth. And His Word teaches us the truth. But if there's no Jesus in your life, there's really no truth in your life. Because, see, without Christ, we're really living a lie. We're living a false life with false hope. And the secret to personal change, the secret is to know and face truth. The secret is to know the truth, Jesus, and to face truth. You see, the secret to personal life change is not willpower. I can remember for years and years and years before Christ, I tried to change things in my life. Couldn't do it. Even after Christ, I tried to change some things without Him. On my own willpower, it doesn't work. Willpower is not the secret. You have to know and face truth. Truth about yourself, about your relationships, and about your own nature. You see, nothing in your life will change. Not your habits, not your sin, your relationships, nothing until you know and face truth. You see, we have to face truth about our choices, about our past, about our weaknesses, our successes, and even our failures. We have to know and face the truth about those things. Why? Why is that? Why is it necessary to know the truth before anything changes? Well, this is why. Because behind every self-destructive, self-defeating habit is a lie that you believed. Personal change starts with truth. And I wanted you to write that down at the beginning. Write it down now if you're taking notes. Personal change starts with truth. Personal change starts with truth. I want you to turn back to the front of your Bible, to Genesis chapter 3. You see, this is not new news. It's good news, but it's old news. But it's still good news. Genesis chapter 3. Now, I just told you that why it's necessary to know the truth before anything changes, because every self-destructive, self-defeating habit, behind it is a lie that you've believed. Genesis chapter 3, look at verse 6. This is where Adam and Eve fell in the garden, where they ate the forbidden fruit. They ate from the forbidden tree. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Adam and Eve ignored the truth. You see, God had told them, you can eat of anything in the garden, but this tree you can't. Because if you do, you'll surely die. Now, he didn't mean physically. He meant spiritually they would die. And they did. You see, they believed a lie from the devil and chose to ignore the truth. And we do that today. We believe a lie from the enemy that may come through others or people or through our own mind. And we ignore the truth of God. You see, their pride, Adam and Eve, their pride in thinking they could know as much as God caused them to deny truth rather than apply it to the situation. And the result? Well, look at verse 9. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" You see, verse 10 says, "So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And of course, God says, "Who told you you were naked?" You see, God created them in His natural beauty and splendor. And until they believed the lie, they weren't naked. They were just God's creation. But see, they believed the lie. In verse 4, here's the lie. The serpent had tempted him, said, "You need to try some of this." And Eve said, "No, we can't do that." And the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." See, there was the lie right there. And they believed the lie and ignored the truth. And it took them down. It took them down. Here's what I want you to see from that. Key points here. Truth denied causes us to hide. Truth denied causes us to hide. You see, when we deny the truth, and then we enter into the consequences, then we begin to hide from God. Or at least we think we're hiding. Truth applied takes away pride. You see, their pride, Adam and Eve's pride, caused them to accept the lie and deny the truth. And so what they did is they denied the truth. And what happened? It caused them to hide. And that's happening today to people still. But truth applied will take away that pride. It takes away the pride that says, "I got this. I can do this. I can do it on my own. I don't need God." Now, we don't consciously say, "I don't need God," as Christians. But our actions say that. "I got this. I can do this." So here's what it looks like on us. People get into a debt crisis because they believe lies. Here's how it goes. "Oh, this credit card is maxed, but I can get a new one, transfer my balance, get a lower interest rate, and a higher credit limit. That'll work." Well, is that truth? Are you sure that's truth? Or is the truth this? Or is the truth that you don't want to know, the truth that you don't want to know, and the truth that you don't want to face, really the fact that you're just going to get into a bigger hole because you don't want to deny yourself? What about your relationships? What about your relationships? Is there truth you don't want to know or face in a relationship because your pride won't let you? And you hide from it, and you pretend that the situation is not what it really is, and it's just going to change or maybe just be all right? What about yourself? Are you believing things about yourself because that's what someone said to you or about you? Is there something that happened in your past that you're allowing to define who you are? And in doing so, you've been believing and hiding in a lie. Is that the truth? Or is what God says about your situation or about you, is that the truth? Is that really the truth? Let me tell you, friends, good or bad, no matter what the situation, what God says is truth. Amen. Period. Amen. And He either affirms the situation, or truth requires that we adjust our life according to the truth. And see, that's where we struggle at times. We want the truth adjusted to our lifestyle so we can do what we want instead of adjusting our life and our lifestyle to the truth. You know, and here's how it goes. We put up nice window dressing, curtains or blinds in the windows. And you know, here's the point. We can put up nice curtains and still have something rotten in the refrigerator. And sooner or later, the door's going to open. And it's going to smell. And it's going to be ugly. What that means is personal change starts with truth. What that means is personal change starts with truth. You see, we all face different situations, different events in our lives. Life doesn't miss anyone. But in the book of John, in John chapter 8, Jesus said this, "If you abide in me, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples." He said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." And he said, "And then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." You see, we're set free from the lies. We're set free from the lie through truth. Adam and Eve noticed their nakedness, and they hid from God. We believe lies, we ignore God's truth, and in essence, by ignoring God's truth, we hide from God. Or at least we think we're hiding. But here's something we need to understand. This is what you need to get today. Lies don't change God's truth. Lies don't change God's truth. But God's truth changes people. God's truth changes people. Personal change. Personal change, it starts with truth. I want to ask you something this morning. Do you want to know the truth about yourself, about your situations, circumstances, about your life? And if you know the truth, here's the second question. Are you willing to face the truth by God's grace? You see, we know the truth by God's word. Do you understand that? We know the truth by God's word. And we face the truth by God's grace. God will give you the grace to face the truth if you'll just submit to Him and allow Him to work in your life. Allow Him to show you your need for Him and how He can help you. Let's pray together. Personal change starts with truth. There's all kinds of lies floating around in the world today. But the lies don't change God's truth. The truth is, God's truth changes people. And if you want to be changed today, God's truth will change you. You just have to allow it. You have to face it. Face the truth about your situation and allow Him to pour out His grace as you face it. So the response is yours today. Whatever He tells you to do, you do. As you pray, why don't you just ask the Lord, "Am I ignoring your truth? Am I ignoring your truth, Lord? What is it I need to face about myself? What is it you want to show me about myself? What is it you want to show me about a relationship or circumstance or situation? I want to face it, Lord. But I need your grace to face it." He'll give you the grace to face it if you'll ask Him for it. If you need prayer this morning, if you'll, you know, the altar's open, there'll be people at the back to pray with you. There'll be some out there. Up here, we'll pray with you up here if you need prayer. Doesn't matter what it's about. If you just say, just pray for me. We just want to pray over you. Pray with you. What's the Lord asking you to do this morning? Father, we thank you for sending us the truth, Jesus. We thank you that, God, he remains truth even to this moment, to this very second. And God, there's circumstances and situations in people's lives that sometimes even when we're seeking you, it looks like we're not seeing it. God, help us to remain strong and trusting. Trusting in the truth. Trusting in Christ. Knowing that if we don't give up, if we stay the course, if we keep seeking you, that you are our protector and our provider. And those two things you promise. You promise to be and you never change. And your word never changes. You are our provider and our protector. So God, we thank you for that today. We believe you for that today and we trust you for those two things. Those two needs in our life, our protection and our provision. And God, when we're weak, you be our strength. When we doubt, you be our truth. And when we're in anguish, God, you be our peace. You are our peace. So we thank you for that. We praise you for that. We need you today, Lord. We need you today. Jesus' name. Amen. If you made any kind of decision today, share it with us. Send me an email, contact information's in the bulletin, and let us just be praying for you, praying with you. Know the truth. Truth will set you free. We're going to celebrate what Jesus did for us, what he continues to do for us. We're going to celebrate communion, and we're going to celebrate the fact that he was crucified, dead, and buried, taking all our sin on himself, all the world's sin at one time. And God raised him from the dead that gave us the freedom and a victory over the sin that captures us. And so that's what communion is about. Communion is about celebrating the blood of Jesus Christ that was poured out for us and his body that was pierced for us. So that we could have a new life, a real life, a free life. And so I'll just ask those men that are going to be assisting with communion to come now. Jesus celebrated the first communion, or breaking of the bread, if you will, the night before he was betrayed. And He shared it with his disciples. And he said, do this as often as you will in memory of me. And so that's why we do it, to remind us of what he did for us through this death and resurrection. He brought a new covenant, for us and with us. The covenant that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so that's what we celebrate today, everlasting life. And the Bible says very clearly that we're not to come to the communion table in an unworthy manner. And what he means is unconfessed sin. That's what it's telling us, unconfessed sin. And so I want to encourage you to take just a minute to bow your heads and pray and ask God to show you, is there anything that you need to confess to him before you partake into this? This is for believers. If you're not sure you're a Christian, then don't participate. Nobody's going to look at you or judge you. If there's something in your life that God says you need to hold back today, then hold back. Just stay in your seat. Nobody's going to judge you. You do what God tells you to do. And so as you ask him to examine your heart now, Father, is there anything in me that I need to confess to you? Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who you sent for us to die for us, that we might have forgiveness and we might have life everlasting. Life beyond this life we now live. Eternal life in heaven with you. We thank you. And we do this in his memory, in his honor, and to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you've never had communion with us before, we use the intinction method where you come forward and you break a piece of the bread and just dip it in the juice and then take it. Okay, that's how we do it here, and that's how we ask you to do it. That way you're only touching the bread that you break off and just dip it in the juice and partake, okay? So I'm just going to ask this section to go out by the wall and come up and come back down this aisle. I'm going to ask this section to do the same, go out by the wall and come down this aisle. And I'm going to ask this section here if y'all will come out this way and come back around to your seats this way. Okay? So, this is a celebration. But it's a sacred time. It's a sacrament that Jesus gave us. And so you just come as you're led.